Mrayuchtuden.
Mrayuchtuden.
Sober as... Sober... Sober... Sober as...
Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On this show, I have Shauna Nicholson. Shauna is Yupik and Aleut. Originally from Dillingham, she now resides on Dena'ina land. Shauna has been sober for over 3 years. And on this show, Shauna courageously shares her story for those who are still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Shauna Nicholson. Hi, Shauna. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
I saw one of your posts. That's why I reached out to you about sobriety. And so I was like, hey, I didn't know you were sober. So I immediately was like, I should get her on.
Yeah, I was really excited to see you reach out to me because I've never really done anything about like this before. So I am excited to share my experience and sobriety, you know, because this has been the best experience of my life. I wish I would have done this sobriety thing a long time ago. So, yeah, it's been wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, when social media nowadays, it's so cool because I get to, I'm like scrolling and you know, all my kids or whatever is like, you're on your phone too much. And I said, I'm doing some work. I'm doing research, you know, because yeah. I'm scrolling and then I find somebody that I could maybe interview because they have posted about their sobriety and, you know, how they're living a better life and everything. I'm like, wow, see, there's somebody right there and there's somebody right there, you know?
Yeah.
So I yeah, have an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. It's for a good cause, you know.
Yeah. So before we go on, can you go ahead and introduce yourself so everybody can get to know you?
Yes, my name is Shauna Nicholson, and I am originally from Bristol Bay area, which is Dillingham. And I was born and raised there, grew up with my family, my grandparents, and all my Dillingham family there. It was a wonderful experience. And then my dad is a pastor. He's been a pastor since before I was born. So he was asked to become a pastor at the Bethel Moravian Church. So in 1996, I was a junior or going to be a junior, and we moved to Bethel for several years, or maybe 4 or 5 years-ish. I don't know. That was me, but my parents were there a little longer. So, but yeah, we were in Bethel for a while, and I don't remember how many years that was. But anyways, after Bethel, I graduated from high school there, and then I moved to Anchorage, was here for a while, worked. I worked over at the Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, was a mortgage loan officer there, processed home loans all over the United States, and did that for a good almost a decade. So yeah, I kept busy here. And then I eventually moved to Eagle River and just started being a stay-at-home mom over here. And yeah, that's where I am at now.
Awesome. Are you Yupik?
I am. My mom is a full Yupik and my dad is half white. Yeah. And
okay.
Quarter Yupik and quarter Aleut.
Oh, cool. And how long have you been sober for?
Going on, well, it's over 3 years now, so.
Wow.
I know I went through different times where I tried quitting and failed, of course. I, well, you know, it was short sobriety moments, but Finally, this time around, it's lasted, you know, going on 4 years now. So like over 3 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a long time for me, and I'm very proud of where I'm at right now.
That's so cool. I know you go fishing in the summer times, or you used to?
Yes, I still do, but I didn't this past summer. I was born and raised in Bristol Bay, so I was on a fishing boat when I was just a young girl, and yeah, I didn't go commercial fishing last year, but I still do. I plan on going this coming summer though, and I love it. It keeps you strong and keeps you busy, and yeah, it's tough though.
That's cool. I grew up on the Kuskokwim fishing, you know, like you went to Beth or you lived in Bethel. I grew up Kuskokwim fishing, way different than Bristol Bay though, because Bristol Bay is like, I see those videos and those pictures of the Bristol Bay fishermen and fisherwomen, and it was, oh my God, it's just like, holy cow, how do they even fish in that, you know, so many boats and so many nets and stuff like that? I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
blown away.
Yeah, it's crazy. I love it though. That's I was born and raised doing that, and it's just something I'm used to. I know a lot of people are like, "Whoa, you guys do that?" I'm like, "Yeah," but yeah, it's a lot of hard work. My grandpa always said, my dad's dad, my grandpa, you know, he was in the fishing in the olden days on a sailboat, and he always said, "You got to be born with the fishing in your blood," or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I forgot how he put it, the wording and stuff, but he said, you got to have it in your blood to be able to do it because there's so many people that city people, you know, that I've seen, you know, tried to go commercial fishing, but they couldn't hang. They just jumped ship after a week.
And yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of people that cannot do it or cannot hang. So you, like my grandpa said, you got to have it in your blood.
Yeah. And it can get dangerous too, huh?
Yeah, it's very dangerous. There's people that get hurt out there, and even some people that drown that I've heard, you know, just, you know, bad accidents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is dangerous. I've heard that it's one of the most dangerous jobs, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. Is what I've heard about it. So it is very dangerous. You got to know what you're doing. You got to do everything right, and, you know, and got to be strong.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically, especially.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I can imagine that and see it too, man. Your dad,
yeah.
Pastor Nicholson, I know him. He's with the Moravian Church, correct?
Yes, Moravian Church. Yep. He's been a senior pastor there for, I think, since 77 or 78.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been a long time.
I mean, he has quite a background, huh?
Yeah, he went to Iraq. Gosh, what was it, back in 2007-ish, 2008, I think. He was in the army. He was in Iraq serving as a Christian chaplain over there for all the soldiers. And yeah, he went to war over there. He even explained to us that he was near bombs going off. Just, you know, he was dealing with people that had postpartum, what do they call that in the army? PTSD, yeah. And it's very scary, actually. So he said it was a lot, but, you know, God brought him back. And eventually my dad retired from the army. So yeah, now he's serving God fully, full time.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my dad went through a lot.
I'm sure he helped a lot of people too, like the subject that we're talking about too, you know, through his ministry and his church.
Oh yeah, he did. And he even helped me too, because at some point in my life, you know, I went to my dad and the church elders, and I was suffering from alcoholism and I couldn't quit. And so, yeah, I reached out to them, and I did, I don't know if you guys heard about this pledge. I did a pledge, you know, to not drink for a certain amount of time, which I don't mess around with God, you know. So I, you know, when I pledge, you know, in God's eyes of not drinking this for this amount of time to this amount of time, you know, I will stand by that. And that I did that at one point. And actually, I think twice, two different times I did a pledge. And it worked for me, being that I respect God and love him and I fear God. Yeah, so that worked for me too. Another thing I wanted to mention. So did a pledge to tell God that I wasn't going to drink from, I think the first time I said a month for 30 days. And I signed a paper from my dad and the church elders did that too. So yeah, that was one thing that helped me. But of course, when it ended, it didn't last long. So I was, you know, I could have thought, you know, one time I thought maybe I should do it for years, you know, but you know, at that time I wasn't mentally prepared. So when you're thinking about sobriety or quitting, when you have a problem with drinking, you know, you have to be mentally prepared to want to quit. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it's just not gonna, it's going to be hard. So, yeah.
You know, that statement is true because a lot of people will ask, can you like talk to somebody or help somebody or, you know, this family member, that family member. And I always have to bring up, you know, I could talk to them and, you know, encourage them and everything. But if they're not ready or mentally prepared or not ready to stop drinking or stop, you know, doing drugs or, mm-hmm. or whatnot, then what I say is falling on deaf ears, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have to want the sobriety to be able to work. Cause if you try it, you know, like I've done many times, you know, like, oh, saying, ah, oh, I just want to quit. And then I try quit and it's just not, I don't have that mindset of fully wanting to quit at that time. And I'll just fall back into alcoholism again. And that's how I did it when I was doing the pledges, you know, I'd say, oh, well, I'm just going to quit for like 30 days or 60 days, you know, and then I'll, mm-hmm. you know, I did a lot of really serious thinking and stopping myself and just sitting here thinking and, you know, all of all the things I need to change and what's important to me. So yeah, it's you have to want to do it and you have to do it in the right mindset too.
Yeah.
For it to be successful.
I saw you got some ink therapy.
yes. I did. I was actually just recently, I got my tattoo that I just, you know, shaded up and finished. So I actually got the original outline and everything several months ago, I believe. And I mean, I've always had tattoos since I was in high school. So I just recently had finally got a new one. So yeah, I went and did a little ink.
Cool. What is it?
Well, I didn't even mention, I do have four kids, by the way. I have four kids and I have three adult boys. My oldest is 23. His name is Jeremy. My second oldest is Rylan. He's 22. My third is Jaden, 19. And I have my one and only daughter. My last child is 10 years old. Her name is Jaslyn. Anyways, so yeah, I have four kids. So I went and got four roses put on my forearm, which represents my four kids. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, my kids are everything to me. So, you know, whatever ink I have, it's either about my kids or God. That's it.
Gotcha. So mm-hmm. can you tell us what things looked like before you decided to get sober?
Yes. I was not in a good place. I was drinking literally every day, maybe a day or two break throughout the, you know, the week. Of course, during the day, I'd have to work and everything. But, you know, right when I get home, I'd start drinking. So yeah, it was like, it wasn't good. And I just was starting to feel very unhealthy and just not a good mother, you know, because my kids, you know, like I said, mean the world to me. So I felt like, before I realized I needed to quit, you know, I felt like I wasn't being a good mother or mom that's fully there for my kids. And I just felt like my hangovers were so bad and it was just exhausting every day. And yeah, so I was not in a good place before I decided to quit drinking, but that is the main reason why I started to think that I needed to quit. So I'm glad I went through it. Otherwise, I probably would still be drinking right now.
So your kids were a big factor in you deciding to get sober.
Yes, my kids were my main factor in my sobriety. reason being is because my daughter, you know, she was so young. She never, when I did drink alcohol, she would never want to be around me. You know, I'd wake up my kids, even in the morning, they didn't want to be around me because they were, it wasn't that I was drinking a lot around them. You know, I'd come home and they wouldn't want to be around me. So yeah, it was very saddening. I did not, you know, even to this day, now that I talk about it, I get emotional. So I wanted to give my kids, yes. So yeah, my kids were a huge factor in my sobriety because I just didn't feel like I was fully there for them. And they just didn't want to be around me anymore. And that was hard because my kids, you know, when your kids mean the most to you, you know, that's who you want around you every day, all day, you know. So, and not having that, it was very depressing. I became very depressed. Was another thing that, you know, of course I was happy, you know, when not happy, but you know, when you're drinking and you're in a good mood, and that's one of the reasons why you drink, you know, is you become, you get out of depression or you feel happier, you know what I mean? Temporarily. But once you sober up, it's like 100 times worse. So you feel your depression hits you like a ton of bricks and you just, it's tough. And depression, yeah, I was not in a good place right before I started thinking I needed to completely quit. And just seeing my kids not want to be around me hurt, feeling my depression hurt. My family did not want to be close to me. My parents, my siblings did not want to really, you know, hang out anymore. You know, my friends, you know, of course I had friends too that who drank. The only reason why we hung out was to drink, you know, drinking friends.
Yeah,
I had, that was another thing I had to think about to cut out of my life as well. So, but yeah, I wasn't in a good place. So I finally came to the realization that I need to make a change. And I did. The first thing I did was I turned to God. You know, of course I grew up in a Christian family, my pastor dad. I turned to God. You know, I've always been a believer. I love Jesus. I've always been a believer and I always pray, of course, to go to church and stuff. But yeah, then I finally turned to God and I fully gave my life to Him. You know, not, you know, how people are lukewarm and, you know, just not fully living for Christ. I felt like I need to go that route and fully give my whole everything to Jesus again. Mm. So that right there gave me the strength. I believe God was a big part of it. I know there's a lot of people out there are not, you know, believers or, you know, Christians or whatever, but, you know, and they do are successful in sobriety as well. It just, for me, what worked for me is, you know, God had a big impact on my sobriety. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I had, just listening to your story, I have a lot, I could relate to a lot of what you were saying, because when I stopped drinking, but right before then I would drink so much. I'd go on binges, you know. Would drink because I was trying to push back like the emotions or the trauma that I've had or things that I didn't want to talk about, and that was my therapy, was drinking. And it's funny because people, you know, they say what, alcohol is a depressant, so it makes you more depressed, but at that time it feels like nothing worries you anymore. You know, you feel like you're happier at that moment, just like you when you said that. I was like, that's what I felt, you know. Mm-hmm. And then of course after that, the hangover, it was so bad. The older I got, it was like it hit me so much. I didn't want to do anything. I was like closing the blinds and shutting the door and getting under a blanket, and I didn't want nobody to bother me or even turn the TV on. I would just like suffer in silence, not even eat. It was more towards the end, it was more like an illness for me, you know, instead of like just a hangover. Oh, you can fix it with a fixer or whatever. And that's what I would do, you know. I would have like another drink just so I could not be sick anymore. And then it would compile
get
more and more. And then once that sickness went away is when like the shame came to me, like, oh man, look at me, what am I doing, you know?
Yeah.
How could I be doing this to me? And everybody else around me is trying to help me, but I'm pushing them away, you know, just wanting to be like in isolation, just mm-hmm. just don't want nothing to happen. And then I started to think, you know, bad thoughts about, you know, maybe I wouldn't, you know, wake up or whatever. It'd be better if I didn't wake up. I would tell myself lies like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it was at a point where I would start to believe that, and things would start to get dark and scary, you know, that isolation, shame and all that, it just starts to build up and build up, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes. Yep. I went through that too. So everything you said, that's exactly what I had went through as well.
when you decided to, you know, just, you know, start to get sober, what was the hardest thing that you had to like do?
For me, I think it was the habits. Like, you know, right after you get home from work, you get a glass of wine or pop open a beer, you know, that's the habit part. You know, you're just mm-hmm. so used to, right when you're looking forward to that drink, right when you get home, or, you know, wherever you go have that drink, go to. And yeah, so the habits was the hardest thing, because, you know, right when I quit drinking, or when I decided to quit drinking, you know, the first thing I was like, oh, right when I came home, I was like, oh, now what do I do? Because, you know, I'm so used to get that drink, alcohol drinking. Now what do I do? And you're actually craving it at that moment, because you're just, that's your habit. You're used to doing it at that time. So that was my struggle. I had to change my habits. I had to change my routine. I had to keep myself busy. Sometimes I would try to avoid, or try not avoid going home, but like try to do something in place of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like go
mm-hmm.
to the gym. You know, that's when I also started working out, you know, very seriously about going to the gym. So I ended up right after getting off work, I'd start going to the gym and working out, and that helped me a lot. So yeah, the habits were very hard, you know, when you're so used to doing something for so long at that certain time every day, you know, it's hard to change it.
Yeah. So. I do see you, your social media, you post at the gym, and I'm like, man, you go out to the gym a lot, to Alaska Club or whatever.
Yeah, I do go work out at Alaska Club, about 5 days a week, I'd say.
And wow.
Yeah, 4 or 5 days a week. Some days I'll put an extra day in there. But yeah, I weight lift. I do heavy weight lifting and cardio. So I keep myself healthy, and I've been eating healthy as well. So that's another good thing. And yeah, working out, it's especially weightlifting. Weightlifting is, at first was very hard, because, you know, when you're not used to weightlifting, you have to build your muscle to get stronger and stronger. And so, yeah, at first I felt so like not out of shape, but like it kind of weakish, I guess you can say.
Yeah,
so.
I was just about to say weak.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but yeah, after some time, you just feel so strong, and you're lifting all these heavy barbells and, you know, pumping heavy iron. You feel so tough, and it makes you so happy. It's my addiction now.
cool. So another thing that you mentioned is try to find other things to do besides what you used to do.
Yeah.
You know, change that instead of drinking or drugging. Try to find like either a hobby or getting yourself healthy. So that helps you out, huh?
Exactly. Yep. Finding a hobby exactly to fill in that alcohol part of your life that you had.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the gym was my part. So
what is driving you your sobriety now? I know you didn't do like 12 step like a like AA or any like meetings or anything like that?
No, I did it all on my own. However, I'd like to mention, you know, I'm ashamed to mention that I did have a felony DUI because of my alcoholism. I'm ashamed to say, but I'm I'm not scared to, you know, expose that because I know that alcohol, my alcoholism was the one that caused that.
Just saying that out loud is like, wow, you're bringing it out because I have a felony DUI too. And, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was like so ashamed of that. And like, what are people going to think?
Yeah.
And but once I said it out loud and, you know, people started to look at me and see how, you know, hey, I have a good job, you know, I'm helping other people, you know, and when I said it out there, it seemed like it lifted a weight off of me, you know, like I wasn't ashamed of that anymore. I could show people like, hey, I could live a better life. And that's in the past, you know, and I could start to move forward about, you know, helping other people and, you know, living, being a productive member, you know, air quotes of society.
And that's the reason why I brought that, my felony DUI up was because I did, after that, I got in trouble with that. I did go to treatment, an outpatient treatment, you know, of course we have to do it by law. So I did, that's the only treatment I went to was, you know, my felony DUI treatment. And that lasted probably about a year-ish. I had to do about, I don't remember, gosh, eight months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like maybe three times a month. So it was maybe three, four times a month I'd go to those meetings. It wasn't much. It was just, you know, whatever court ordered me to do.
The nudge from the judge.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's pretty much all I did when it comes to, you know, AA meetings and treatment. Otherwise, other than that, and I did have to go through, I think I had to go to AA treatment. I think I did that maybe once a week, just for a short time, just maybe like a couple months. But I didn't feel that that really helped because in the past, even after my first and second DUI, I just fell after those AA meetings and treatment, I'd still fall back into my alcoholism. So I didn't feel like those helped me, but I know it does help, you know, some people, but it just didn't help me. But yeah, what has helped me though, is like I said, I turned my life over to God. I finally decided to fully give my life to God. I just told God to take my steering wheel and just help me and get through all this that I need to change, that I need to, I need to make my life better for my kids and for my family. So.
Yeah. I think your story is going to send hope out to those who are struggling right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project, Saturdays at 3 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m. on KSKO, serving the western interior of Alaska for more than four decades. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.